The following program is being brought to you on the Green Talk Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit thegreentalknetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture is making changes and valuable contributions to the health and well-being of the less developed world around us. Join founder Michael Bumstead today on Growing People from the Ground Up. Michael, his co-host Tom Rockwood, and guest speakers will show you what's being done now and how you can help.
Well, welcome to Growing People from the Ground Up, a show that we explain a program that helps people throughout the world to become self-sufficient. And we're delighted that you're joining us today. The topic of our show today is grow your own vegetables with pocket cash. And we have an expert that will help us learn this concept, that we have had him in our programs down in Peru and Ecuador twice the last few months. And we will introduce him in a few minutes. But prior to that, just want to let you know that our show here is for all of those who are interested in growing vegetables in a very efficient way in a very small plot of land and in your backyard. It's also, this show is for anyone who is interested in learning how other people in need throughout the world can become self-sufficient and how you can be part of that if you have a desire to help and give back. Just for review, the Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture helps in this development of this program throughout the world. What we do is we take the rural farmers in developing countries and we help them in a multi-crop scenario versus a monocrop and selling in the market. We take the small farmer out of the market and divide his small plot of land up in a multi-crop scenario, meaning corn, quinoa, wheat, legumes, a lot of vegetables. We add small animals. We add a milking goat so they have calcium. So that same small farmer that was struggling to feed his family on that little plot of land can now feed his family efficiently and nutritionally. Science is our focus. Science is our compass, really, on this. And this is how we get people self-sufficient. Once they become self-sufficient, then economic development comes on their own. These people are as smart as anybody else in the developed world, and they've just not had the opportunity. So once they have an opportunity to develop economically, they take that and run with it. So our job here is to help them get food grown on a small plot of land so that they can be healthy, strong, and smart and feed their children properly. I just want to introduce our co-host here, Tom Rockwood. Tom?
Again, Mike, it's great to be here with you. I am continually impressed the more I learn about your program, the Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture, how often we can use those same principles here in our own world, in our own little town, in our own families to help us succeed as well. So I love that. The more I hear about it, the more excited I get. I don't know if you heard recently, sometimes you hear on the news little blips about new words that have been added to the dictionary. Wise English teachers teach us that dictionaries reflect rather than dictate word usage. And so oftentimes those words change. And I was interested to see that back in 2005, the Oxford Dictionary decided to add the word localvore. Have you ever heard of that word, Mike?
No, I haven't.
It's defined as a localvore is a person who is interested in eating food that is locally grown and not moved long distances to market. Who would have ever thought there was a word for that?
Localvore. Okay.
I I read about it recently in an article because in October there's a number of, for instance, October 1st through 8th is celebrated as Local Foods Week, if there, and I didn't know there was one of those either. But in a sense, it's why local foods might be superior. Freshness from short time periods between harvest and consumption, choice of plants that are more inclined to do well in our area, ripeness at a time of harvest, and last but not least, freedom from chemical influences. And so the nutritional benefits can be huge, and that's why I'm excited to hear from your guest that you'll be introducing soon. I don't know if you're the same as me, but I know nutrition, before you got involved, I'm kind of in that same spot right now. I'm just starting to learn about the benefits of better nutrition, and it helps because most of us don't know much. I remember the old joke, there was a guy who walked in to see his doctor, and he had a carrot stuffed in one ear and a piece of celery shoved up his nose. And the doctor took one look at him and he said, "Well, one thing's for sure, you're not eating right." And I'm afraid that's about all that most of us know about nutrition, that we're not eating right. So that's why I'm excited to hear your guest today. Go ahead.
We could explain a bunch of other things here, but our guest today is so interesting. He has so much to share with us. Tom, I think we ought to probably just get him on here as quick as we can.
Let's do it. I think that's great.
Our guest today is Alan Silva. And Alan was born in Colombia, South America. He speaks, obviously, fluent Spanish. I have traveled with Alan to our projects in Peru and Ecuador this summer, and he is an absolute phenomenal teacher. He is very well known for giving seminars throughout the United States, actually internationally, I believe, on this square foot gardening concept. Now, the Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture has taken this concept and tweaked it just a little bit, and we call it rotational garden. It's shaped a little different, but it has the same concepts. Alan is the president of Squarefoot Gardening. They have a very large following. He has been the person who has grown this foundation. He's been instrumental in their development. They have 300 teachers in 32 states in 8 countries, so I guess it is international. I think it would be best just to bring Alan on. Alan, are you with us?
I am indeed.
Alan, I think you have so much to teach us. I know your seminars are way over the allotted time that we have for this show, and I have seen you perform in South America, so I think it would be give justice to our audience to bring you on and have you help us start introducing what square foot gardening is. Just start there.
No problem. I think perform is a great way of putting it. As you've seen, I tend to be kind of lively when I talk to people. But it's just thank you for having me on, by the way. And it's not me. There's a lot of great people involved. My CEO, Victoria at Square Foot Gardening, does a tremendous amount of work. Without her, I couldn't do anything that I'm doing right now. But it is fantastic. It really is. Basically, Square Foot Gardening, all it is the common sense solution to the traditional problems that we have right now in the world. We talk about large-scale farming, small-scale farming, people trying to grow food. You know, Tom was talking about the importance of eating healthier, more nutritionally, all these kind of issues as well. We've dealt with this. As I said before, we've got a large following all over the country. We have a lot of people that are always asking us questions about how can we eat better? How can we go back to a more profound base of life? You know, how can we eat more organically is the big word used today in all things. And it really has to do with that. It has to do with just eating healthier, eating cleaner, eating simpler. I don't know if you noticed, but life has become very complex lately in terms of how our food gets to our plate. You know, Tom's talked about some of the distance issues, right?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you noticed this, but, you know, the average food from by the time it's picked to when it gets to your table travels between 15 to 2,500 miles on average right now.
Oh, my goodness.
It is insane. Now, think about it this way, though. You know, we talked about how food works. You know, in the old days, let's say, you know, in the old colonial days, we used to go to our backyard, everyone grew their own food. You know, you go to the backyard, you cut off a tomato from your garden, and boom. You know, as the second you cut that tomato off, you start losing nutritional value at that moment. But No, you cut it at the peak of ripeness, so you're at the highest level it can be. And, you know, it is fantastic. You lost, what, a minute of nutrition. But now, take the traditional farm nowadays, in which you have the crop is grown in Los Angeles or grown in Brazil, and it's chopped there. First of all, in order to get it to your table without it rotting, they have to cut it before it's ripe. Hence, you've already lost a bunch of the high level of nutrition that you can. And again, at that moment, you've lost, you start the clock ticking of the nutritional lost. You know, again, now it travels 2,500 miles to get to your place. By the time it gets to your place, it has to come in specially refrigerated containers or in containers to keep it safe. By the time it gets here, it speaks picked so early that now they've got to artificially ripen it with other chemicals as well. So by the time it gets to your table, there's not much left, really. You know, you've got a tomato that might look the same as something from your backyard, but it really has nothing left in it that's worth anything. It's just a shell.
You know, Alan, when I travel in foreign countries, I absolutely enjoy fruits and vegetables in those countries, probably because it's picked closer to being ripe. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, you know, you'll see scientific studies that show there's no difference between organically grown stuff and, oh, come on, come with me. Anyone who's ever tasted a homegrown tomato can tell you right there, oh, there's a world of difference in taste, in texture, in feel, in everything about a tomato like that. And that affects all kinds of crops as well. So there's a huge difference. And it's interesting because, you know, one of the things I'll talk about later here is about the importance of soil. Again, the nutritional component is so, so vitally important because it's something that we don't see with our eyes. You know, we'll go to the store and we'll see all these fruits and they're beautiful and they're red and they're ripe, but we can't tell what's on the inside of them. And that's one of the biggest problems I think we have is that we don't realize that we're eating pretty much a shell of stuff. We're not eating anything that has any real nutritional value.
Wow. That sounds right. I think we're having a little bit of difficulty hearing everything that you're saying, Alan, so hopefully we can address that during this upcoming break. So if you don't mind, we'll wait to have you finish that comment in just a minute or two.
No problem at all.
Oh, well, it's actually sounding better, but we'll double check that.
Yeah.
Running into our – go ahead.
You know, Alan, you sound good right now. Let me ask you a personal question if you don't mind. You've revealed that to me. You eat much more nutritionally today than you used to. And what is the effects to you and your family because of that?
Oh, man. If I could just – I could spend an entire hour on this. And just to give you a little background, my family is in medicine. My father is a doctor. My sisters are nurses. You know, we all grew up in the medical profession, so I highly respect it. But the, you know, in the typical medical profession, the answer to problems usually is a drug. When we grew up in this country, I'm from Colombia. As I started growing up in this country, we started realizing some of the same issues that a lot of people are facing. You know, I started having a lot of problems with my allergies. My wife was having a lot of problems with ADD, ADHD, our kids as well. Lots of problems with asthma on our kids. You know, the typical American maladies that everyone seems to have nowadays. Now, the interesting thing is that we tend to assume those are just normal. But as it found out, they're really not. I was a bit overweight. I was about 220 pounds. My wife about 230 pounds. And we've tried all the different kinds of diets, you know, ways to lose weight. But you know, we never succeeded. Again, typical American family. And then I started going into the eating healthier. We started finding ways, you know, we put our kids on ADHD medicine to help them in school, but you know, in our minds they just were kind of doped. You know, they weren't alert, they had no appetite. They calmed down a bit in school, but the side effects were worse than the medicine was.
Alan, we're going to have to take a short break here, but when we come back, you can finish that story. I think this is a real fascinating story. This is Growing People for the Ground Up, and our topic today is Grow Your Own Vegetables with Pocket Cash. Be right back.
Thank you. This is the Voice America Green Living Channel. Spread the green.
In a world where parents struggle to feed their own children, the Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture is dedicated to teaching families how to grow, what to eat, and how to become self-sufficient. By giving people the right tools to grow their food, we're not just growing crops, we are growing people. Your host, Michael Bumstead, president of Self-Reliant Agriculture, shares stories of struggle, success, and perseverance that families and communities experience in South America and other parts of the world on the weekly internet radio program, Growing People from the Ground Up. Through the Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture's See the Change program, you can select a family to sponsor and, with frequent updates, watch as they progress towards achieving goals to provide for themselves and feed their families. The work Self-Reliant Agriculture does today impacts individuals' lives tomorrow. Please visit us at www.selfreliantagriculture.org to read about recent projects, see videos, and view photos of families and the communities where they live. That's selfreliantagriculture.org.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus,
creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson in The Sea Around Us said,
"All at last return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end."
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth. Tune in Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on the Green Living Channel.
Learn how to become a part of the solution, not the problem. Participate in the discussion by calling 1-888-346-9141. That's toll free, 1-888-346-9141. This is the Voice America Green Living Channel. Spread the green.
You're tuned in to Growing People from the Ground Up with your host, Michael Bumstead, and his roster of special guests and weekly contributors. To find out more about the Self-Reliant Agriculture Program, or if you have a question or comment that we can address on a future program, please send an email to comments@selfreliantagriculture.org. Now, back to this week's program.
Great. If anybody has any comments for Alan Silva, please send them to comments@selfreliantagriculture.org, and we'll get them right to him. Alan, would you finish your story of you and your family eating more nutritionally and the benefits that has had for you?
Yeah. So as I was saying, you know, we started changing our diet because my wife got tired of the typical medicinal solution. So we started researching eating better food. We started growing our own food, and again, a plus working with the foundation here. And the more we grew our own food, the more we started eating our own food, we started noticing not only small but significant changes in our lives. We now eat, in fact, at this moment, we now eat about 4 pounds of veggies per meal, which is,
wow.
Which is insane, because I used to be one of those types that had, you know, if I had my plate, I had my T-bone steak and I had a couple of little peas on the side, I would say, how do these peas get on my plate? And it was just, you know, it was bad. But now, you wouldn't believe the difference in our lives. Literally, immediately, without even trying any kind of dieting, I started losing weight and my wife started losing weight like mad. You know, my wife has lost almost 100 pounds. I've lost 60 pounds, and I'm down to 150 now. My wife is down to 130. And that's without any kind of dieting or measuring or calorie counts or weighing food or any of that mess. We just eat better.
Do you ever get hungry?
No, you know what? Not as much anymore. In fact, my wife has to convince me to eat now. But not only that, but the changes were far more dramatic too. Our kids' ADD issues started diminishing significantly. The kids' asthma disappeared. I mean, like, you know, they were on inhalers and it's gone.
Wow.
My allergies disappeared. You know, it's interesting because I, in fact, just before I talked to you guys, I was talking to my mother who lives in Utah. And I've been trying to get her to do a lot more of this with my father-in-law because he's got a lot of diabetes issues and some high pressure issues. And he's taking a bucket full of medicine. Well, they finally started taking our advice, growing their own food, eating more veggies. And guess what? You know, in the past couple months, he's lost 30 pounds. His, and guess this is dramatic though. he stopped needing his diabetes medication.
Oh, my goodness.
That's just exciting. Thanks for that personal experience. But I also know that you've been in Peru and Ecuador recently over the past 2 weeks. You want to share a little bit about what you were doing there?
Well, we're taking the same concept and taking it over to the rural areas. One of the things that I love about SRA, you know, Square for Gardening has focused really on the American market and helping the Americans eat healthier. We've always wanted to reach to the international market, and SRA is already doing that. So it was a natural connection for both of us to work together. So at the invitation of SRA and Michael here, we were invited to go down to Ecuador and Peru for a few weeks. We've been there twice.
We probably ought to tell our guests what SRA means. SRA is the abbreviation for Self-Reliant Agriculture. But go ahead,
yeah. Alan. Yes, you're exactly right. So we've traveled to the two countries in which SRA has several programs. We have several employees in Ecuador and in Peru. In each one, there is a demonstration farm that has been set up at each of the local universities. We have installed the rotational garden concept, which is an offshoot of Square for Gardening, into these concepts. We've traveled into many, many families. They have about 50 families personally being taught by the institute in both Ecuador and another 50 in Peru. But the great power is that we're extending that reach by making important partnerships with local community organizations, with local government agencies. When I was down there, I was helping to teach the Minister of Agriculture and their staff in Ecuador, and some of that as well in Peru. We traveled through all the families in which we actually showed the families how to set up their rotational gardens, how to set up their multi-crop systems. And it was just fantastic. We went from family to family to community to community, and it's been incredible. The reception has been so wonderful because these people are open. You know, they are excited about learning new ways, excited about feeding themselves and feeding their families. The system they're using now is fatally broken, and they're looking for anything that can give them some benefits. And I think we're really bringing something incredible to their table, so to speak.
Right. Probably we ought to tell people what rotational garden is.
Well, a rotational garden is basically the Square for Gardening concept adapted for third world countries. What it is nothing more than a simplified, easier to use, easier to manage gardening method. It is biointensive, meaning that you don't have the long rows that a traditional garden has. The problem with the traditional garden concept, I suppose, is that it's based on a large-scale model. You have these massive, big, huge rows in which you grow, you know, even in a small farm, you'll grow 50, 100, 150 head of lettuce, which, of course, is useless because how many heads of lettuce are you going to consume at a time? And when you have 150 growing at the same time, you know, you're going to give them away, you're going to try to sell them, you're going to, you know, throw them away, eventually a lot of them spoil. So we try to do away with all those things. We create a compact system that grows only what you need to survive, what your family needs nutritionally. The focus of this program is first and foremost nutritional self-sufficiency. So we help the family grow their own food and grow only what they need at a time. We compress the system into a much more smaller base. So instead of growing, let's say, every 12 inches or so for planting a head of lettuce, we'll plant 12 inches, and instead of having to go 3 feet for the next row, we avoid rows altogether, avoid all the compaction and problems with porosity and all the things that happen with those, and combine them all. So we put a piece of lettuce further up and a piece of lettuce to the side. So we can actually plant a whole lot denser than a traditional gardening system. So we grow a lot more in a lot less space, to put it simply, succinctly.
I was just going to say, try to explain a diagram that you created for us to our audience here. And if I make any errors, you correct me. But I'm looking at a diagram that that we're also using in Kenya right now. But it's the same concept we're using in Peru and Ecuador. This little garden you're talking about is about, what, 4 feet wide and about 12 feet long?
Yeah, and you don't want it to be longer than any wider than 4 feet. The key is only put it as wide as a person can reach.
Right. And so you surround this a little 4 feet by 12 feet with boards, rocks, something like that, and you plow it very soft. You never walk on that ground. You always keep it soft so that it has plenty of oxygen for the plants. And you can reach in from both sides, correct?
That is exactly right.
And then every square foot in that 4 foot, let's say the first 3 to 4 feet you plant today, and then 2 weeks later, you plant the next 4 feet, and then 2 weeks later, you plant the next 4 feet, and so on. So by the time you get done planting the fourth section, you come back and you start eating the first section.
You got it. That's what makes this program sustainable.
And then every square foot might have, and you're going to have to help me here, every square foot might have 15 carrots or, four heads of lettuce or something else. So every square foot has something completely different, so you always have a variety of vegetables maturing at the same time.
See, and that's key, because one of the problems that we've seen, and you guys have seen as SRA, is that people tend to grow the monocrop. You know, they just grow the corn, they grow just the beans, and yes, it's nice to have the carbohydrates from it, but you miss everything else that you need with it. And so having being able to grow a variety of vegetables in a small amount of space is fantastically important.
Well, not only that, it sounds like it would be just much more efficient, both time-wise, if you can get someone to reach in the weeding as far as water. It's going to take less water because your vegetables are more compact. Even learning about this and driving here this morning, I drove past a number of neighbors' gardens, and God bless them for having them. But they were all planted in the long rows, similar to what we'd be used to if we were looking at commercial farms. And I just started looking at that and thinking, wow, Alan could make that so much more efficient if they followed his program.
And that's the key, is that the power of this system is that it's simple to use, simple to maintain. It doesn't require tools, doesn't require tractors, doesn't require rototillers, doesn't require any of these stuff that normally comes with a normal garden. Not only that, but it doesn't have any weeds. If you do it right, you get rid of weeds altogether. Isn't that a dream to any gardener right there?
Oh, absolutely. You bet. What kind of limitations do you have on what you can grow, or is there a limitation?
I've yet to find a limitation, actually. And some people say, well, what about growing potatoes or growing long carrots? Because one of the things that we tell people is that you only really need about 6 inches of soil to grow. And when I say that, people say, whoa, 6 inches, that's not enough. But, oh, you wouldn't believe it. I've had sunflowers that are 12 feet tall that are growing in 6 inches of soil, and they grow perfectly. Now, wow. The roots, and then because people talk about, well, what you need is you need lots of roots. You need space for the roots to grow and grab their nutrients. Well, we have found that plants tend to be smarter than we give them credit for. And if there's plenty of food right there, they tend not to need to have massive, extensive root systems to be able to grow the plant.
Well, that would only make sense if you're working in a more efficient space. Then you don't have to take the time or expense to water more, to fertilize more. I just think that makes all the sense in the world.
In fact, we try to eliminate fertilizing altogether. We teach people the importance of feeding the soil properly. Composting is what we always taught people. We always say, recycle, recycle, recycle.
Right.
In your opinion, can a person become self-sufficient on such a small plot of land?
Oh, it's not only my opinion, but it's a science fact. I mean, for the longest time, people, in the colonial times, we go back to that. Everyone had to be sufficient. We didn't have supermarkets, believe it or not, back a few hundred years ago. Everyone had to become self-sufficient. The only thing we've done now between now and what happened in the past is just we've made it more efficient. So now instead of needing all the massive space that some of the people used to have, we can do it in a lot less space. In fact, a traditional garden, a square foot type garden, rotational garden, will only take about 20% of the space of a traditional garden, and will still give you the same level of yield.
Wow, and a lot less water as well.
In fact, only about half of water. Because again, you're talking about you don't have to water weeds. You don't have to water these massive spaces between the rows. So literally, your water use goes down tremendously. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we like to go to third world countries, because a lot of them, especially Peru right now, are having lots of issues with drought. The same with Africa, a lot of drought going on. So being able to conserve water is not only nice and neat and earth-friendly, but in some cases is a matter of survival.
Right. Wow, that's incredible. What about the tall items, such as tomatoes, that type of thing?
Well, for that, what you want to do is use a trellis-based system. You can just stick a stick in the ground, basically, and have it grow that way. Or use things like companion-based planting. You take things like corn. You're familiar with the Three Sisters. Take corn and start growing it. And once they get about 12 inches or so, you start planting some beans. The beans will use the corn as a trellis. And the corn will protect the beans. The beans will inject nitrogen into the soil that the corn takes away. So you see a lot of a lot of benefits to plants working together. But again, with tomatoes, it just, if you just give it a place to grow and it'll grow.
Okay, Alan, we need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue this concept. It's fascinating. And stay with us. We'll be right back.
Keep listening to the Voice America Green Living Channel for the latest in the sustainability and green movement for all of our futures today and tomorrow. The Voice America Green Living Channel. Spread the green.
In a world where parents struggle to feed their own children, the Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture is dedicated to teaching families how to grow, what to eat, and how to become self-sufficient. By giving people the right tools to grow their food, we're not just growing crops, we are growing people. Your host, Michael Bumstead, president of Self-Reliant Agriculture, shares stories of struggle, success, and perseverance that families and communities experience in South America and other parts of the world on the weekly internet radio program, Growing People from the Ground Up. Through the Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture's See the Change program, you can select a family to sponsor and, with frequent updates, watch as they progress towards achieving goals to provide for themselves and feed their families. The work Self-Reliant Agriculture does today impacts individuals' lives tomorrow. Please visit us at www.selfrelientagriculture.org to read about recent projects, see videos, and view photos of families and the communities where they live. That's selfrelientagriculture.org.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
This is the Voice America Green Living Channel, helping to promote a sustainable future for us all.
You're tuned in to Growing People from the Ground Up with your host, Michael Bumstead, and his roster of special guests and weekly contributors. To find out more about the Self-Reliant Agriculture Program, or if you have a question or comment that we can address on a future program, please send an email to comments@selfrelientagriculture.org. Now, back to this week's program.
We're back with Alan Silva here on Growing Your Own Vegetables with Pocket Cash. Alan, at that break, I just want to bring in what we were just talking about, you and I and Tom. You live in Florida right now, and you moved to Florida so you can do some experimenting on some of these garden concepts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not only am I interested in square foot gardening, but I'm interested in all types of alternative technologies to help improve the nature of livelihood of people. Right now, I'm studying up on hydroponics and aeroponics and aquaponics. Looking at alternative energy technologies, because the goal is always the same. If we want to be able to help people, we have to be able to do it in a way that is not only simple, but that can be done with the implements at hand. One of the issues that we've had with many NGOs is that, well-meaning and wonderful, they bring in great, massive, technologically advanced equipment to help families in rural regions, but the equipment is so technologically advanced that parts are not available. So when it breaks down, that's the end of it. Or there's not people technologically advanced enough to maintain it. So again, you lose these things. One of our goals, and what I've been doing in Florida, has been trying to find ways to grow things simpler, easier, with that anyone can do. And not only that, but that anyone can do with the implements that they have on hand, without having to bring things from the outside, because that still makes you dependent on the outside for it.
Right. You might be interested in this, but our staff down in Peru just did some experiments on hydroponics and has had some fantastic results.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you tell me what hydroponics means? I'm an outsider.
Hydroponics is growing food without soil.
In fact, I was there for the experiments in Peru.
Oh.
And I saw them firsthand.
That's right. You did see that. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Which is fantastic. By the way, kudos to the SRA staff, because it's interesting. A quick story there. The person that works, her name is Anna down there. Mm-hmm. She is an animal specialist. And we have, SRA has an animal concept into the system. You know, they have the rotational gardens, the multi-crop scenario, and they have an animal component to provide all the balanced nutrition that the family needs. Well, they found some families that don't quite have all the land necessary to implement the full rotational garden or multi-crop system. We use the multi-crop to feed the animals because we want them to be self-sufficient. So Anna was thinking, well, if they don't have enough land for the multi-crop, then there's not enough land for the animals, therefore there's not a job for me to do. And she wouldn't take that answer. So she started talking to some of the local university people and said, can we find a way to grow when there's no land at all? And they said, sure. So they started looking into hydroponics. And all it basically is really simple, what she created. Was you take a plastic tray, drill some holes in one side of it, and tilt it. That was kind of in a 25-35 degree angle. Sprinkle some seeds on the tray, in this case rice, and we'll probably have some pictures on the website that you guys can take a look at. And she just take a spray bottle and just sprayed it in the morning and in the night. And so any water that was excess would go down into these holes, and you can recapture that water and reuse it. After from zero to full grown, ready to eat, in this case, rice, it was 16 days, 16 days flat. And the food was ready to eat. See, the total water usage was about half a gallon of water total. And it went from 200 grams to 3 kilos of food in that amount of time. It was astonishing watching that.
And this was grown on plastic sheets.
Yeah, they think of like your old kitchen trays that we used to use in school where you put your food.
Mm-hmm.
One of those.
It drill a couple of holes at one end of it and tilt it up about 1-2 degrees so the water will run off and not drown the seed. And
I still might have a few of those fast food trays that I copped from when I was in college, but we won't go there.
Uh-huh. Getting back to the concept about being self-sufficient on a small plot of land, I want to clarify a couple of things here. Really, for a person to be self-sufficient, they need a certain amount of food. And it really comes down to that, not amount of land as much as amount of food. And the more clever we get with the techniques such as hydroponics and rotational garden, all that type of thing, that plot of land will shrink for the farmer to be able to feed his family nutritionally. We still need some field crops such as corn, wheat, that type of thing for the energy calories. And we also, in our program, we add small animals into that for the protein intake. And so over time, we're hoping that pot of land, that the amount of land necessary to get a family self-sufficient will continually get smaller, but we're still in the experimental stage of how much that land is. It probably would depend on the region, the climate, if they can grow year-round, all those type of things, would it not?
Oh, yes, very much so. Yeah, you know, and that's why one of the things that SRA does that I really like is that they plan the nutritional or the garden based on the needs of the family. So I don't know if you've explained how this works, but I was really impressed with it. SRA's team will go into the family and will say, okay, let's find out where you are at this moment. To do a nutritional analysis of what the family's eating, how their kids are growing, all the fun stuff. Based on that, they create a scenario of, okay, these are the types of plants that will give you the necessary nutrients to give you the nutrition you need. Then SRA brings in some agronomists who take all those plants that the nutritionist said will feed them, and then they filter them based on what will actually grow in the area, which is different in many cases. And then they filter it further based on what the family will actually eat, which is something that a lot of people don't take into account.
Right.
And that's how you come up with the plan.
Okay, tell us about your experience in, I believe it was Ecuador, where you had the presentation to the Ministry of Agriculture and how many families that represented in that presentation.
Well, actually, we've done several presentations. Yeah, in Ecuador, in fact, let me combine a couple of different things here. When we first came there, the minister said, hey, you know, we're interested in what you guys had to offer. We have some funds. We're trying to create some gardens ourselves. We've been given a mandate by the federal government to create a nutritionally based program for our farmers. And we've created something, but we still like to hear what you guys have to say. So I said, okay, we can do that. And he's like, well, and in fact, it's interesting because the minister himself said, you know, I can't stay for this because I've got other meetings to go to. But, you know, I want you guys to address this question and 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 this question that we haven't been able to solve yet. And then he sat down for a few minutes. So we started talking about the concept, in this case, rotational gardens. And it's fascinating. We talked and we talked and we talked, and the minister didn't get up to leave. You know, he stayed there and he stayed there and just kind of paying attention. And by the end of that presentation, he came up to us and says, "Wow." He said, "You've answered every question that we've had. In fact," he said, "we're so impressed with this that we are actually going to change the program that we were already implementing, destroy it all, and restart it all based on your system." And that was just the first time we went there. The second time, they were really excited. They brought a lot more of their staff to come listen to us and explain our concept. And they brought in about, 25, 30 families. And I thought, well, great. There's some of the families that they're working with. Because again, the ability to grow the program depends on working with company organizations or government institutions that have the capability of working with a lot more than we do. So they came in and we talked to them. It turns out they were not 30 families. They were actually 30 leaders of an association of families in their community. So we actually have between 1,000 to 1,500 families being represented in that room at that time. Now, that's how much interest there is in this, and that's how much need there is, how desperate people are to try to find something that can really help them.
That's what we've been hoping to do for a long time, Alan. We're very excited about that. You know, we have limited funds to help these people, but we know our technology and our concept can help everybody. So when we partner with these organizations in country to have them use their employees to spread the model, we're delighted to do that. This is how we get more spread on our model. So we're really excited about what happened there.
Oh, and let me tell you another example in Peru. So in Peru, we have, again, the Minister of Agriculture showed up and said, "You know, we heard about you guys, and we started talking with them." And he said, "Hey, you know," after hearing us talk, he said, "We love this. We want to implement this." So we said, "Hey, let's go take a look at our demonstration farm." So we took them all out there. They looked at the demonstration farm that is, you know, it's from zero. It's only been up for 2 months in Peru, and it's already growing tremendously well. And we talked about before, there's some amazing experiments going on right now that are going to be just mind-changing in Peru going on at the demonstration farm at this moment. Well, the governor of the whole state decided to show up and pay us a visit while we were there. Now, we had the newspaper show up and give interviews to us. The minister finally said, "You know what, this is wonderful. We want you to teach all our staff here so we can take this all around the state." Well, not only that, but now, I don't know if you're aware of this, I'm sure, that we've been invited to go back to Lima, Peru, here in 3 weeks, in which they want us to speak to the entire country, basically. All the governors from all the states are probably going to be there. The Minister of Agriculture, the Minister of Education, the Ministry of Women and Child Services. They're all going to be there, and they all want to listen to some of the things that we do and how we do them. And they first the talk is the same everywhere we go. They always say, we've got some funds, we've got some resources, we've got the ability to do things, we just don't know what to do. And they're coming to us because we've got something that really works.
Right. We probably ought to tell our audience what the demonstration forum is. What the demonstration farm is we develop a partnership with in-country universities. In Piura, Peru, it's the National University of Piura. In Abada, Ecuador, it's the Technical University of the North in Ecuador. And it's the same. It doesn't matter which campus it is. We develop a partnership, and we're developing right now a curriculum, a university textbook, a curriculum to be taught on campus. That will be complete at the end of this year. But prior to that, right now, we have a demonstration farm of our multi-crop scenario with small animals on campus, on their property, that they allow us to use. And so this is a partnership, how we can spread our model. So it's a fascinating partnership, and I think it has great potential for us to be able to spread our model in countries.
Oh, yes.
Can I just mention before we go to break, you two both made reference to NGOs, and for, again, a layman that's not involved in the situation, NGOs stand for non-governmental organizations. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you sharing that. You know, when we come back in a few minutes, I would like to have you, Alan, to explain to us how these people in these countries live. A lot of our audience has never been there. Explain to us how they live, what their culture is, what they are growing now, how they eat, how they live. And then tell us some of the concepts, or actually some stories, some true stories of the impact that you have seen of these people changing their lives when they implement this rotational garden as well as the multi-crop scenario. We'll take a short break right now. We're talking with Alan Silva, from the president of Sportful Garden.
Keep listening to the Voice America Green Living Channel for the latest in the sustainability and green movement for all of our futures today and tomorrow. The Voice America Green Living Channel. Spread the green.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
In a world where parents struggle to feed their own children, the Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture is dedicated to teaching families how to grow, what to eat, and how to become self-sufficient. By giving people the right tools to grow their food, we're not just growing crops, we are growing people. Your host, Michael Bumstead, president of Self-Reliant Agriculture, shares stories of struggle, success, and perseverance that families and communities experience in South America and other parts of the world on the weekly internet radio program, Growing People from the Ground Up. Through the Institute for Self-Reliant Agriculture's See the Change program, you can select a family to sponsor and, with frequent updates, watch as they progress towards achieving goals to provide for themselves and feed their families. The work Self-Reliant Agriculture does today impacts individuals' lives tomorrow. Please visit us at www.selfreliantagriculture.org to read about recent projects, see videos, and view photos of families and the communities where they live. That's selfreliantagriculture.org.
This is the Voice America Green Living Channel, helping to provide a sustainable future for us all.
You're tuned in to Growing People from the Ground Up with your host, Michael Bumstead, and his roster of special guests and weekly contributors. To find out more about the Self-Reliant Agriculture Program, or if you have a question or comment that we can address on a future program, please send an email to comments@selfreliantagriculture.org. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to our show here. Alan, we don't have a lot of time left, so we're going to jump right into this. To make this a picture in a person's mind, if you would, how these people in Peru and Ecuador live, the people that we actually work with, what their living conditions are, what they eat, how they dress, whatever you think will help describe the image for them so that they can understand who we're talking about here.
Well, I would first suggest that hopefully we'd have SRA put some pictures up, because we took a lot of pictures of what it's like down there. It is very difficult for the average American family to really understand what it means to have nothing. I mean, truly nothing. Let's take a real case example is Peru. When we were down there in Piura, the land is desolate. There's no vegetation. What there is just scrub oak and death everywhere, you know, just bad stuff. It's a desert. A lot of people have nothing to live in but literally straw huts that they make from the plants that infest some of the rivers. And in fact, this is the sewage plants, you know, all the sewage rivers. They take these plants that infest and dry them out and make homes out of it. And so, I mean, you have never seen the kind of desolation that you see this, unless you travel and been there and actually see what they live in. The inside of these homes are, I mean, you'll take a home like this will probably fit in the average American living room, the entire house. You have the kitchen will be on the floor. It will be just a couple of stones with some wood underneath it, and a pot on top, and that'll be their kitchen. The beds are just a couple of little cushions on the floor and the other side of the room. These people have no hygiene. Usually the outhouse and the shower are the same structure, and they'll be usually in the backyard. You know, having indoor plumbing is, you know, was something unheard of for a lot of these people. But not only that, the big difficulty is the mindset of the people. These people have no education. They're starting to get a lot better now from how they were 30 years ago. But overall, the rural families don't know that they don't know. It's very difficult in some cases showing these people what to do, because all they have is tradition and habits. What they grow is what their parents have grown and what their grandparents have grown for generations and generations. And it's typically either corn or rice or beans. And the interesting part is that their model is based on the large scale model. So they plant as big as rows as they can. They use tremendous amount of water, which is even horrible because Peru is going through a massive drought right now. So they're wasting a tremendous quantity of water. Not only that, but getting the water to their crops is very difficult in many cases. You know, a lot of people don't even have running water in their homes. So they got to go and actually get a bucket and bring their buckets and water their lawns and their gardens.
When you're talking about this, it reflects me right back into Pure Peru. I've been there a number of times, and it's heartbreaking to see how these people live. But you know they're happy?
Yes.
And the kids are happy. They're just the cutest little kids you've ever seen. And they are so excited to be able to have an opportunity to improve their lives. Tell us about a specific family, if you would, in either country.
Well, let me give you an example right now from Peru, because that's one of the ones I'm most excited about. Quick background. In Provo, I was at a conference about ending world poverty. In the conference, I spoke to several of the people there, and the thought was, it's all about increasing their commerce. And my philosophy to them was, you know what? If you just help them grow their own food and take care of themselves nutritionally, they will take themselves out of poverty, and you won't have to do anything. And a perfect example of that is a gentleman by the name of Simeon in Peru. He was, again, very poor, lived in horrible conditions, not much land, not very little water in some of the areas where he has. And all he's grown in his entire life is fruit, and he sells that at a wholesaler. So lo and behold, we came in, we showed him how to set up rotational gardens, how to set up the multi-rotational crop system. We haven't even introduced the animal component to this guy yet. But even with just that amount, he was so eager to learn a better way for his family that he eagerly planted what we showed him and how to show him how to plant. His first crop came in. It was tremendously successful. It was so successful, in fact, that out of his own accord, he said, you know what? I'm having so much success here. Let me plant the other half of my farm on this. Because, you know, you don't want to just tell them, shoot everything that you have down, because that's their livelihood. So we usually start with a small plot. Well, out of his own, he decided to plant the other half. Had tremendous success. And now he says, you know what? I'm having tremendous success. Now I can't sell to my wholesaler because I sell vegetables now, so I'm going to the retail market directly. So his profitability has gone way up by eliminating the middleman. And now he's saying, hey, you know what? I've got 5 hectares in my house. If I can make some money with this, I'll pull a pump, take it to my house, and imagine what I can, and with only 1 hectare here, imagine what I've done. Now what I think, what can I do with 5 hectares? And this is the mindset that's going on in him. Now, we tend to say one of the misconceptions is that being poor means you're dumb. It's the opposite. These people are looking for the opportunity, and when they capture it, it's amazing. In our last visit with him, he said, you guys have no idea what you guys have done for my family. He said, my dreams have come true. I now have a future for my wife and my kids, something to give them more than just the sweat off my back. And it is fantastic. You know, these are the kind of examples that you see. Again, in Ecuador, the same kind of issue. We had a lady named Fabiola. Again, low income, no knowledge. All she grew was corn. We brought in a multi-crop system. We brought the rotational gardens. She's had tremendous success with both of the systems. And again, out of her own accord, she says, I like this. So she's actually planning a second set of gardens now off her own. She's seeing the potential. She's taking it, and she's moving on to the next level. And again, her reaction's been the same. She's been, you guys have taught us some tremendous things. I now see what I can do with this and where I can go with it. And now my family will be out of poverty.
Alan, a couple of things that you mentioned that just hit me is this idea of poverty and self-sufficiency that square foot gardening and rotation gardening helps, because it's so efficient, it does indeed free up both time and frankly, money and so forth to help these people become more educated. A lot of the time in third world countries, the reason why the kids aren't going to school is because they're needed on those inefficient farms or having to take the little bit that they can sell to market, and they spend all that time and are not able to be educated.
Yeah, and one last really quick thought here is that one of the projects you're trying to work with now is Kenya. One of the great things that people don't seem to understand, like you were saying, Tom, is that it gives you in tremendous efficiency, but now you're able to grow in places that you couldn't grow before. Especially in places like Africa, the man tends to have the big field out in the middle of nowhere while the woman takes care of the wife and kids and of the kids at home. With these type of rotational garden systems, she can actually grow food right next to her home. So she can actually take leadership roles now in her family's health, in her family's well-being. So this increases not only food, but it increases self-esteem, increases opportunities. Like you were saying, it reduces time. The benefits are incalculable.
You know, we talked last week very quickly. We're just about out of time here, Alan, that their normal diet in the morning is a corn syrup drink. They'll have some type of carb or something in the afternoon. You ask these people in Kenya, for example, when's the last time they had meat or some kind of protein? They said probably sometime last year.
Yeah.
So by our program, implementing this program into them, they had a sufficient diet and they can feed their family. And it, you can imagine what it does for their parents to be able to see their kids have the nutrition to grow properly. We are out of time, Alan. I really appreciate you coming on. It's been fascinating to have you with us. We'll probably have you on again sometime in the near future.
I hope so.
Thank you for sharing this hour with us. Next week, we will have Dr. Alan Christian join us to discuss his experience in human development. Dr. Alan Christensen has devoted a great deal of time on lessons learned on the small-scale nutritional self-sufficient program we're discussing. We'd like to have you join us. You will find it fascinating. Until next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Growing People from the Ground Up. Please join your host, Michael Bumstead, co-host Tom Rockwood, and their guests next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Green Living Channel. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Green Talk Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit thegreentalknetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.